This episode of the Potato Field with Spudman is brought to you by the 1-4 Group Incorporated, a leading supplier of innovative dormancy and sprout inhibiting products for the potato storage industry. They are dedicated to the continued development of new and improved post-harvest chemical applications through collaborative efforts with leading university researchers and private industry. Find out more at 1-4group.com. Hello, this is Zeke Jennings, editor of Spudman Magazine. We are at the new podcast, The Potato Field with Spudman. Joining me is San Acacio Seed owners Amanda and Braden Wagasuki. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, you're represent San Acacio Seed. It's actually a collection of several different farms, correct?
Yes, we have three ownership entities, being 3S Ranch, which is a commercial farm, Salazar Farms, which is a seed farm, and Price Farms, which is another seed farm.
And how did that collaboration come together? Because this is still fairly young, 2016, correct?
Yes, sir. An initial partnership between the three enterprises originally started with the intent to design a seed potato farm to meet the growing need in not only the San Luis Valley, but surrounding areas for a quality seed source. In years of late, we've had a large issue with PVY numbers being extremely high in many of the russet narcota varieties. And so these three farms came together with the intent to grow a quality seed for many of our customers as well as themselves that was grown in complete isolation. And that's a key factor in the initial reasoning for starting San Acacio Seed in the area that it's at, actually.
And just to clarify, I should have said this earlier, but you guys are in the San Luis Valley in Colorado, which is a big potato growing region. But like you just mentioned, it was really important for you to be isolated. How far are you actually away from a lot of the other farms in the valley there?
Actually, we're geographically distanced as well as physically distanced. So we have about 60 miles between us and the nearest commercial farm up in the main part of the valley. And then we're located at the southernmost end of the valley. All of our prevailing winds come off the prairies, so we don't have any potato regions around us that blow into our growing area. As well as we have physical barriers. We have mesas and hills that completely separate us and vast amounts of desert between us and the next nearest potato farm.
Your husband, Braden, actually grew up farming, correct?
Correct.
Okay. At what point did you know you wanted to stay in agriculture and follow in the footsteps of your family members?
Since I was 12 when I started working on the farm with my grandpa during the summers. Mm-hmm. He'd come pick me up before the sun came up and we'd go work all day and he got me back off at home and it just grew on me and I wanted to follow in his footsteps and take over something he started.
What was your grandfather's name?
Roger Wakasugi.
Okay. So, and he is the one that started 3S Ranch?
Yeah, he helped start it with Jerry Smith.
Okay. And how did you guys meet, you and Amanda?
I actually met her at her job interview for San Acacio Seed. I was out here in 2017, and then I was going to go back to 3S Ranch, and they found Amanda to come and run the place down here, and they invited me to her interview, and it's all history from there.
Well, I'm glad she got the job. It turned out pretty well for the farm and for you personally. So,
yes, it did.
Amanda, could you share a little bit about your background as well for us?
Well, I didn't grow up in the potato industry. My family originated back home in New Mexico. I'm part Navajo, so I grew up around animals, around ranching, and around farming on a small scale. I applied for a scholarship through them when I was attending New Mexico State University, and I was very fortunate to be a part of their scholarship program. And through that, I worked with Wilbur Ellis and NAPI extensively and graduated, spent time with the farm since 2011 through when I left. I ended up managing some of their crops. I focused in potatoes and some of their melon crops and onion crops at the time. And that's how I got interested in potatoes, was in 2011. And I stuck with the crop through when I left and just fell in love with the industry, the people I met along the way. Wilbur Ellis played a huge role in helping me expand my knowledge as far as the crop aspect of it. And agroengineering is one of our consultants that we still work with up here in the Valley. And I just fell in love with the San Luis Valley, the people here. But I just love working with potatoes, and I enjoy now being a part of the seed industry. And that's, it's a completely different ballgame, but it's a challenge that we meet every day. And I enjoy working with Braden to tackle those daily challenges.
Well, you said a mouthful when you said seed is just a different ballgame. For people on the other side of it that are buying seed, could you guys talk about a little bit about what goes into getting that seed certified?
The certification process is an intricate process. There's many players that come into, I guess, into play throughout every phase of that whole process. The CCPGA, which is all the seed growers in Colorado are part of that organization. We have what's called PCS, which is Potato Certification Service. We have inspectors at the state level that help us meet certain criteria throughout the whole process. Basically, it's sanitation, it's record keeping, it's attention to detail, and I think having an open relationship with our customer base and trying to grow with what they want in mind. So a lot of one-on-one conversations with many of our customers to find out what varieties they're looking into, characteristics they're wanting, what they don't like. It's just, you have a lot of, I guess, team players that work together to get a quality seed on the end of the process.
And on that note, you mentioned talking to people to find out what varieties you want to grow. Could you talk a little bit about what you're growing now and what you guys offer in the way of seed?
Right now we focus on table stock varieties for the fresh market. Hmm. We grow many Narcota varieties. We have 8s, 278s, 3s, 96s. Recently we've expanded into Reveille russet, and we've found we really, really like this variety that's come in to the Valley, and many of our area growers are starting to turn to it as well. We have Centennial russets. We grow some yellows as well as some reds. This year, we grew some Modocs, which is a long-term storage variety, and our feature variety is Soraya, and that's been shown to be phenomenal in both organic and conventional settings, as well as has a long storability.
Now, do you offer organic seed too?
No, we don't specifically offer organic seed, but if an organic grower is left with no other option, so to speak, that they cannot find the source for their specific organic operation, they can source from us, as we don't apply anything in storage that is non-organic or conventional type products.
Oh, that's interesting. That's good to know. And switching a little bit to the field itself, how would you describe the soil in the Valley there?
That's a really difficult question to answer, Zeke. Depending on where you're at in the Valley, that answer is very different. Down here at Zanacostia, we have an extremely heavy sandy, loamy type soil in some of our fields. And then in some of our fields, they're super sandy. And then we have a couple of fields that are super, clay and clod-like, as well as rocky. So it's very hard. It just depends on where you're at in the valley. I think some of our commercial growers that we sell to are very blessed with super sandy soils, and they have minimal clods and minimal issues that we face down here. So I think it just depends on who you talk to.
Okay. And what are some of the challenges you guys face agriculturally? Is water an issue?
Water is a major issue. And I know it impacts different areas in different ways. For specifically San Acacio seed, we have all surface water rights. And so we get all of our water out of what's called Sanchez Reservoir. And so we operate through Sanchez Ditch and Reservoir Company. And we're unique in that we call for water based on a 24-hour basis. And so when we plan out our irrigations, we plan out harvest, for instance, for pre-watering, we have to know when we're going to be in those fields, when we're going to be out of them. And during the growing season, that's extremely hard because you're calling at 5 a.m. in the morning, and then you have to roll with your plan that you set 2 days prior, for example. And if you have a breakdown for a pivot during that time, you're still getting charged for that water. You're still not able to utilize that water, depending on the length of your breakdown on your pivot. And so we have to use water when we call for it, or strategically be able to work with the ditch company to move it down the line to maybe one of our other fields, if that's an option. So in years of drought, we plan to plant certain fields, possibly along the same ditch line, or plant fields only in our lined ponds versus our non-lined ponds, or don't plant certain acreages altogether, knowing it's hard to get water to those locations in a ditch that may or may not be lined with concrete. Mm-hmm. So we have to plan several years out if we know we're going to go into a drought type setting.
We're going to take just a quick break here for a message from our sponsor. Do you struggle with black spot or pressure bruise in your potato crop? The team at 1-4 Group has a solution for you. Their biocontrol 1-4 site has proven time and again to be the best sustainable option for delivering high quality potatoes. Incorporate 1-4 site into your existing storage program for unprecedented success. Learn more at 1-4group.com. And now back to the podcast. Being as isolated as you are you able to avoid some of the other like pest pitfalls? Is that kind of the design of being as far away from other farms?
I would say most definitely. We see less aphid pressure. When we do our bug sweeps throughout the summer, we typically see a lot lower number than most of the other farms. And that's, we're very blessed to have agroengineering along our side throughout the growing season. And so they typically see what's in other areas of the valley versus what's down here. We are around a lot of alfalfa, so sometimes we do have to worry about mosaic type viruses and stuff like that. So we just keep an eye out for certain things like that. And then we'll we still maintain a preventative spray schedule. So we still do a 4-day rotation on our crop oils, and we'll do insecticides as needed as a preventative basis. Luckily, due to our isolation, we don't typically see the levels of PVY or other problems that occur up in the northern part of the valley or other potato growing areas in the country. So with that, we're very blessed.
Rotation cycles, how many years are you going, or does it vary by each of your individual farms?
I think it varies for each of the farms. Salazar Farms, which is one of our parent farms, and they provide our early generational seed. He keeps a strict 3 to 4 year rotation between his crops. And he keeps stark separation between his G1 and G2 generations versus his older generations on his farm, he'll completely separate out by miles if he can, and in direction of prevailing winds, he'll plant his younger stuff up in the front, so they're blowing onto his older generations. And we try to do that here on our farm as well. And then we'll try to keep a 2 to 3 year rotation between our crops if possible. In certain years, we've also partnered with Calden Farms, one of our local farms here, to help diversify our acreages. And so we'll go into ground that has not had potatoes in it, if ever, or in the past 60 years. So just depends on what season we're going into and what our crop history is on those fields. It kind of depends on what we're also planting, whether it's reds, yellows, or russets. But each year varies. It's just hit or miss where we go with everything.
Do you have any rotational crop standards that you like to go to, or does it, again, also vary on the field and what's been planted there the previous year?
I think that has a lot to do with it. It also depends whether, like I said, in years where we do partner with local farms around here to go into their fields, then we kind of try to keep an eye out on the potential fields that we'll use of theirs, so we know what's in it prior to us going into it. We'll do soil samples spring and fall to help plan in the event of if we have nematodes, if we need to plant something like sorghum Sudan or radishes or some of those other natural means of eradication for some of those pests if they are present. That'll basically determine what fields we plant our reds and yellows in. If there's powdery scab, we'll do tests on all of our fields for that. But we try to do things as naturally as possible. We do not use fumigants, and that's something I think is a good approach to have. And so we're very fortunate to have I guess about 40 circles or so around here that we could potentially work with to trade acreages out for if we need to make sure that we don't ever have to use those type of products that are harsh for the environment and the soil.
Let's switch a little bit to the staff and labor. Could you tell me how big is your staff and kind of how do you divvy up who does what?
Right now we have 3 full-time employees, 4 including myself and 5 with Amanda, but we're all pretty good at certain things and some of us are good at everything, and so I just kind of, whatever we're good at, everyone helps, and the person that's the best at it kind of helps walk the others through on how to maintenance this and that kind of stuff, but we maintain about 3 guys all year long.
And it's interesting too, because you have a small staff, but yet you have an internship program that you've started. Could you tell me a little bit about how that got started and how it works?
That's something we've been wanting to start to implement. And I've definitely been an advocate for, seeing as I was a product of an internship type program. And that was my main motivation, was I saw what it did for myself. It really opened my eyes to the industry. It opened my eyes to this human interaction. And it really helped me in college. And so I wanted to be able to give that opportunity to students in the area that fit our criteria and were interested. And so we tried it last summer. We didn't really find anybody that was interested. And then we stumbled upon Jenna, and she was our very first intern this year. And she's wanting to pursue an agricultural degree in college. She's 17, I believe now, going into her junior year of high school. And right now our internship program is designed to get students experience with basic crop production, a basic understanding of GAP compliance. So she helped with our food safety program this year and helped with our audit and getting ready for that. and basically giving students an introduction to general farm management. So they'll job shadow myself, job shadow Braden, also give them experience to working with our consultants and visitors that we have on the farm so they can get that basic interaction and communication skills firsthand and in real life, not in a classroom. Give them farm office experience. So she learned a lot on the computer, working in programs like Excel, basically everyday tools that farmers and other industry leaders use in their everyday real life work experience. And she also would get field scouting experience. And then Jenna was unique in that she started doing harvest. And so she got thrust into the, I guess, the mainstream operation. So she was up with us at 4 a.m. and back with us at dark. So she kind of got that experience that Braden got with his grandfather of what it feels like to work on an actual farm and be a part of something big. So we are very, very thankful to have her and would gladly welcome her back this coming spring when we get busy shipping again. And I hope it was a positive experience for her, and I hope we can offer that experience to other students around the valley. I think it would be great if we can focus on kids in the local community and help them towards their educational goals.
Well, and now that you have one under your belt, she can tell her friends and classmates too, so you never know, you might get an ambassador just from somebody who's gone through it. Amanda, you do...
That's the intent.
Amanda, you do a little bit of everything. We actually met at Potato Expo in Las Vegas in January. That's how I got introduced to what you guys are doing. And I know you've been to the Idaho Potato Show. When did you guys start adding that to really getting out and being out front and getting eyes on what you guys do and offer?
Well, I know in years past, Leroy Salazar, Monty Smith, they've all attended the expo at various times. And then myself, previously, a few years back, I was lucky to be able to go as well. And it's just a great experience to be able to interact with other people in the industry. And you see all facets there. You see the seed side, you see the commercial side, chippers, Dehi. And I mean, Idaho's a little bit more down to earth and a little bit more focused on the growing aspects. And Braden went this year for the equipment aspect of it and got to tour this Sputnik facility. And this past year, we just had an intent for networking, honestly. And I met you, so we met our goal there. But that's our main reasoning for getting out there. And this year, COVID really impacted our decisions to go where we're wanting to go. We had hoped to possibly have a booth up at Idaho. One day we have aspirations to have a booth out at the expo, wherever it may be. This year just changed the whole game for everybody in the industry. I think it's going to be really hard to do things virtually. And it's going to be hard to advertise for some people. And that's our main goal, is we're such a small farm that's starting to want to be in the starting to swim with the big fishies, and we're just the little fishies, and it's hard to get your name out there without having a chance to interact. So that's our main focal point, is interaction. I think that's the basis of business, is face-to-face communication.
That's awesome. And one of the last things I wanted to ask is just what your immediate plans are for the coming years and what you would like to see happen with the farm and the business.
Well, I think all of us have the same basic overall goal for the farm, and that's to basically be one day be a one-stop, one-shop farm, in that we see ourselves eventually having potentially a greenhouse on site to be able to grow from start to finish. Right now, we source all of our seed from Salazar Farms, as much as we can for the early generational stuff. And then we typically focus on the older generational stuff. I also see us branching out into possibly other industries, maybe the chipper industry one day. Sky's the limit as far as what we can do and diversify across, but it all goes back to the basic necessities that every farm needs, and that's going to be water, that's going to be land resource, that's going to be human resource. So I think if all of those factors come into play and stay in play, then we can continue to move forward in a positive direction.
Well said. Before I let you guys go, is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you would like to share?
I don't think so.
Well, you both did a great job. It was very informative for me, and hopefully our listeners get a kick out of it too. And again, that's San Acacio Seed in South Central Colorado. Check them out online. Is it San? What's the website again?
The website's sanacacioseed.com.
Okay, yeah, check them out. They're good people doing good things. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on our new podcast that we're just getting going here at Spudman. And it's been a lot of fun and very informative. So I will let you guys get back to it. And thanks again for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks again to 1-4 Group, our sponsor. Be sure to go check them out at 1-4group.com. We'll see you next time.